Lord, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. I want to say hello and welcome to Only Believe right here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God, hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one of you for being out tonight. You know, we are exceptionally excited, not that we're not all the time, but definitely this is the season beyond Hallmark movies, praise God, where we are where we are celebrating a very unique time. And I want you to know that this is a time of year where every one of us should give extra reverence, extra recognition to the fact that Jesus Christ was born to transform the world in which we exist in. And we thank God for God's grace upon our lives. We thank God that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And as a result, we can be strengthened at all times. We can be strengthened through any situation and any difficulty that we're going to face, because we do know that on this earth we will face challenges. So I thank God for each one of you. And tonight we're going to worship and we're going to be thankful, and we're just going to be excited about the goodness of our God. Amen.
Amen. Well, stand to your feet with us tonight.
Anticipate his move. Oh,
the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we should just give the Lord another hand clap. Amen. Man. Woo. I'm so thankful that the Lord has overcome for us. Amen.
Amen.
You know, earlier today, I was just thinking about Jesus and his commitment and his focus. And I'll probably re-preach this in a few minutes, but I'm just telling you, woo, that I was thinking about his focus, his tenaciousness. Woo. You know, I thank God that he came as a lamb, but I also thank God that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yeah. And you talk about a tenacious man.
Yes.
Talk about a strong man that was willing to give his life. And I want you to know that I pray that it's in our heart to take on the nature of Christ and be strong and be committed and be tenacious and never give up, no matter how much the world pushes against us, no matter how much you are disappointed, no matter how much difficulty comes your way, because I will tell you that even as a believer, there are going to be times of great difficulty and frustration, and life is going to bring you into things that you never thought you were ever going to experience, but just rest in him. Amen? Trust in him, because we do overcome. Amen? Because he's overcome. Woo! By the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah.
Amen.
And by our testimony of the redemption that's come into our life. Woo!
Praise
Amen. God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So y'all ready for the children's Christmas program?
Woo!
Woo-hoo!
Praise
I know this
God.
Sunday is the
hallelujah.
Children's Christmas program. We are excited for that.
Amen.
And then we have Christmas Eve service here. It's a Thursday night, but remember, it's at 6:30. Instead of 7, so we start at 6:30, Candlelight Communion.
Hallelujah.
And it's just going to be a beautiful night. Those
Amen.
Are my two of my favoriteest services that we have throughout the year, are
Amen.
Those two services. So don't miss it. What else do we have going on? There's no prophetic convocation this year, so don't come to Botkins on that Sunday and show up at 6:30, because we're not going to be there.
Amen.
And what else? Oh, we got the men's Christmas party.
I was waiting to see if you would talk about
it. I remember this time.
Amen.
This Saturday, but I don't know what time.
Yeah. We're going to get together at 4 o'clock, and we're going to be here, and it's going to be a good, good time. Us men are going to relax without you ladies around, and we're just going to enjoy ourselves for a few moments. Amen?
You know what I want to know is, what's the plan? Like, well, what are you doing? We had one of the ladies private message me and said, hey, do the guys need help? And I said, I have no idea. No idea what they're doing. I'm not involved with this. Let me ask him. I said, babe, what do you got set up? You got something set up? You ready to go? Like, and he's like, and I said to her, yes, they need a lot of help. And she said, I said, they have nothing planned. They just have the day and the time
Amen.
And the gift amount.
Amen.
They set the gift amount. They got the three important things.
Amen.
They're eating, where they're eating, and they're going to exchange gifts.
Like, woo! Come on.
To men, that's all they care about. But what are you eating? Who's bringing what you're eating? That's the bigger part right there.
Us men, that's all we need. Amen.
You need the food.
Praise God. Amen.
Okay. I'm not worried about it. Listen, I'm going to be home eating whether you're here eating or not. Amen.
Praise God.
No, Hallelujah. You guys are going to have a great time.
Yes.
I'm excited
Amen.
For y'all.
Amen.
And
Praise
so
God.
I think that's all I've got for till the end of this year. So,
till the end of this year?
Yeah. And then mark your calendars. We're joining the EXO Marriage Conference again
Woo.
In 2021, February Amen. 12th and 13th. That's a Friday and a Saturday.
Amen.
Amen. I will get you the dates, and we're getting some materials together so that we can have it displayed so that we all remember. And listen, it is for married couples. We always want to make sure if we're in a bad spot, if we're in a good spot, that we're working on that marriage, amen, and keeping
amen.
It strong and keeping it good. And you can never,
amen.
Listen, you can never hear enough times
amen.
What you're supposed to do, because men have to hear it 1,000 times before it enters the cranial
Praise
part.
The name of the Lord.
I'm just kidding. Y'all thought I was serious. I was going all scientific on you. I'm just kidding.
Praise
that
God.
That might be some of us women too, but...
Hey. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo.
Man, girl, do not yell so loud when we say women. It's the men. We got to have a training.
Amen. But again, I want to encourage you that we're not just having a marriage conference because we're broken or because we're struggling. Although, if you are, definitely be there.
All right.
But I tell you what, healthy, strong marriages, it's good to refresh ourselves. Amen. And I tell you what, I hope that not just during the marriage conference, but I hope that throughout the year you're investing in each other, investing in time. I hope you're praying for each other and just want to make sure that you, you know, like the other day, someone thought we had just got married, amen, on Facebook. They thought we just got married that day, and I told honey that it feels to me like it's our first day of marriage.
Woo! Don't amen. To me. See how opposites attract.
I was in my honeymoon moment, amen.
No, I was, what Praise was I going to tell you?
I have no idea.
Oh, I had something really good, and then I messed it up by saying something else.
Oh man. Was it my fault?
No. Yeah, of course.
Amen.
No, it was so good. It was so good. Amen. But anyway, if you are going to get married or wanting to get married at some point in your life, not even now, and you want to come out to it.
Yes.
I will warn you, they may go into intimate relations a little bit more in depth than maybe you want to hear.
No,
I want to hear.
I don't believe that.
But what they say is good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's funny. I watch these couples. Like if you've been married for a long time, you know their stages. There are stages of marriage, and not that you're not always in love,
Amen.
And not that you're not always want to, you know, spend,
Amen.
But you kind of don't have to be around them all the time like we did in the beginning.
What?
You know, you got married and you got to live together, and that was like one of the most exciting things in the world. But then you live together, and then you find out, well, hold up, he leaves his toothbrush laying around, the cap's always off the toilet paper or the toothpaste, the lid's always up on the toilet. Like, he can't even, right there is the hamper, and right there is his clothes. Like, why can't he make it right there? Like, you get into all of this stuff. I didn't realize he chewed that loud before. Listen.
Hey, now, I'm good with the toilet seat. I'm very honoring in that area.
After 20-some years, I got it. We got this right. No, but it's just neat to see the phases that you go through. And
Amen.
And we're in a different phase than we were 15, 20 years ago. And so I think to come in and to hear biblical principles mm-hmm. and what the word says about marriage and mm-hmm. how we should respond and react with one another mm-hmm. is never a waste of time, mm-hmm. ever. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when they try to get you to kiss, though. Didn't they try to get you to, like, give some kind
yes.
of affection?
Amen.
I'm a no PDA girl.
I like the affection thing.
So if you're a PDA person, you come sit by me so that when they say it, I can point to you and you can kiss your significant other. Amen? Your husband or wife.
Amen.
Get the heat off of me. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I was missing Regina because I wasn't around her today as much as I normally am in a day. So it was good. Just to be around her and to have the goodness of God in our life. Amen? Don't you think so, Brother Jared, huh? You say the same about Linda, huh? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I like to get these men out here in this territory. Praise God. Well, I'm going to let you go so you can get those children in the children's church. Amen. And look, they are ready. I like it because they learn about Jesus. And they have a good time. Amen? And for us, I'm just going to give you a real simple statement concerning giving. And this is one that we've known and that we've heard. And I pray that by now it's in your heart. It says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, we're saying this in concerning offering right now, but I want you to know something. Giving is a part of your nature. Amen? It's a part of the nature and the characteristic of who we are as children of the living God. Amen? I mean, think about it. The first thing God did was he gave man great blessing here on the earth and put us here. But then God, in his great love, gave us his son. Amen? And he gave into us before we ever reciprocated even the idea of whether we were going to enter into relationship with him. Amen? Whew. But he provided for us out of that greatness. So I want you to know that not just concerning your offering that we're taking up now, but make sure that it's in your heart to give. Maybe you can give joy, amen, and give some fun into people's lives. Maybe you can give mercy and give kindness. You know, the Bible says that if we want friends, we have to show ourselves friendly, amen? And so the more we open ourselves up, the more we give, the more we're kind, the more we're considerate of others, I promise you, the more God can do in your life. And he says that when you give in any way, shape, or form, it will be given back to you. Amen? I know that we don't give to get, but we can't help the way God does what God does. Amen? You can't outgive him. You can't outlove him. And I just pray that each one of you, when you give, that you have confidence in who God is and that he is the one that's working with you on everything you do in this area. Amen? Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we come forth, God, tonight, and we get this opportunity to give, Lord, I thank you that people are giving out of their relationship with you. They're giving out of their arena of faith, their trust in you. And Father, they're giving out of the fact that they have seen you be faithful, God. It's our worship. It's a part of our faith. It's a part of our life. And it's a demonstration of our trust in who you are, God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a season, what a time. I thank God that we get to celebrate the Lord. You know, there's a family that I was with today, and, you know, they had tragedy in their household, and they had a young son that went to be departed from us at the young age of 20. So we're just going to pray for Jessica and her family and all of her loved ones and friends. And Father, we just put this family, God, before you, Father. Lord, we put them, God, in your hands, Father. Lord, we pray that your grace and your strength would just come upon them, Father. Lord, as it were, over the next few days and then weeks and even months, Father, and even for the time far ahead of them, God, this loss will be felt, God. But God, I pray that in the midst of tragedy, Father, that you supersede, God, just what we can see and know as people, Father. And Lord, your grace and your mercy would just flood into their lives and into their hearts, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you strengthen them. And God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we just put, God, other families that we know of, Father, people who have even been a part of this church that we know and love, Father. Lord, that has suffered loss this week, God, to COVID and to other things, God. Lord, we just put them before you, Father. And Lord, we just ask your strength and your mercy to
to be upon them, God. And Father, we just trust you with life, God, and we trust you with our future, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it is so amazing because I just thought that this month we would just focus on Jesus as we always do, but just in particular in the idea of really making sure that we have the Lord in every part of our life and that we are really focused and intentional on the Lord's impact of our life. Amen? I'm not saying we do, but I want to make sure that we don't. We don't ever want to become complacent in our walk. And we don't ever want to forget the fact that God really is the substance and the essence of our life. Amen? I want you to know that the Bible says that in him we live, breathe, and have our very being. And I know that sometimes people can think, well, there's wicked people out there that don't even love God. Well, you know what? God says that he's merciful. Wow. To even the unthankful and the people that are evil. Why? Because he wants them to be that way? No, because the will of God is that every person would be saved. Amen? And I want you to know that the Lord has made room. You know, one time I was just praying and interceding for souls one time, and this was years back, and you know, they used to sing this song. I think it's called One Drop of Blood or something like that. What's the song called? Yeah. Right. Because we know that the Lord shed more than a drop of blood. Amen? But what was interesting was I was praying, and I just had this thought. I said, Lord, what would happen if every person on the earth just gave their heart to you at one time? And I was just flooded with the fact that God says, hey, I would save them all in a moment of time, and I would still have everything left to give more to someone else. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I hate the tragedy of people not finding their relationship with the Lord or living this life without him. Because I tell you what, first of all, now having been saved and now having the Lord with me all the time and knowing the comfort I can have in him, the confidence I can have in him, the peace I can have in him, just knowing that now, I wonder sometimes how people possibly make it without God in their life as Lord and Savior. But I'm also overwhelmed with the thought that even those who have not given their heart to the Lord yet, you know he's merciful to them. And he helps them in their time of need. Now, I tell you what, the Bible says for us as believers that we can be really thankful for the fact that the Bible says that we face the afflictions of the world, but those things are not accomplished in us like they are in the world. And that means that we have rescue and we have added things in our life and we have the benefit. Just like this, if we get to the end of our life on this earth with our relationship with God, you know what's so exciting is that the Lord has given us a promise. And in the book of Mark, you can read it says that here on this earth, the Lord will give you 100-fold and bless you and give you joy and give you peace and in the life to come, eternal life. See, I thank God that this is just a stepping stone for what our focus should be. And I think that it's a very critical time for all of us to remember that no matter what's going on in the news media, no matter what's going on in the world, and even though there are things out there happening on a day-to-day basis, that we are never going to let those things overwhelm us and overtake us. Why? Because we're not just on this journey on this earth. Amen? We're not just on this journey for the time that we live in this natural earthen vessel. We are on this journey because one day we want to hear what the word says. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now enter in to the joy of the Lord. Amen? Woo! I promise you, Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I pray each and every day that we would be blessed, that we would see what God has for us, that we would fulfill purposes and destiny and experience joy and experience good things in our life. And I will continue to pray that, and I will continue to see you guys. I get reports all the time of what God is doing and how he's helping us. And I thank God for that. But I also want to remind you that we cannot allow even the best experiences we have on this life or the hardships of this life. The Bible says that do not ever let the afflictions of this world cause us to forget or cast down or give away or not see the understanding that we are really in this thing for a prize. And that prize is not just to live a good life on this side, but I will tell you that this prize is that one day we're going to be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you guys got me off subject tonight, because even before we started the service, someone was sharing with me a book, and it was mentioning, you know, the kingdom of heaven or the heavenlies, you know. And I want you to know that we do live on this earth every day. Amen? But I also want you to know that there is, as it were, a second heaven. We can see the skies, the earth, out there in the planets and all that kind of stuff. But I also want you to know that Paul the Apostle one time said, man, I was caught up to the third heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I want you to know something. Heaven is something that is beyond your comprehension. I know that each of us has had moments, whether it's on vacation or whether we're just outside or whether we're out in nature, or there's times where we look at the sky or we've been in different situations where we just look and you're like, wow, look how blue the sky is today, or wow, look how beautiful this is. Or if you go to see mountains and people are caught up in these moments, you know, and I want you to really appreciate that, because I want you to know something. If the creation that God has put on this earth overwhelms us at moments, boy, you better get ready to get your socks blown off. And, you know, I'm so thankful for what Jesus did, not just because he helps us in this life, but because he has bridged the gap to make sure that he said, hey, now when I go up, man, I'm going to make mansions and prepare a place for you. Amen? Woo! Praise the name of the Lord. And in saying all that, I want to go back for just a few minutes to the very scripture that we were really seated on last week, and I want to just touch base on this a couple times, because I think it is so profound that we remember what the Lord himself said while he was on this earth. You know, there's a time where Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about that there's coming an hour, but he says in John chapter 5, verse 30, and this is Jesus speaking. Man, I love it when the Bible comes and these words are in red, because we know that's what Jesus said. So this is not Pastor Phil. This is not anything. This is the sound doctrine of the Bible. And Jesus declared this: I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You know what, Christians, I want you to know something. I thank God that in our weakest moments and when life was overwhelming us and overtaking us, I thank God that we called out on the name of the Lord and he saved us and supernaturally set us free. You know, I even thank God for those people who maybe was raised in a Christian home, maybe was around it their whole life, so maybe they didn't suffer through all the things that many of us went through. Maybe there's people, even in this church, who have never drank a drink of alcohol. There are people around us who never suffered through certain abuses or self-neglects or putting ourselves in bad situations, and I thank God that they reached out and received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I also want to remind us that we don't just get to get saved and then go our merry way. Well, hallelujah. Boy, the shouts are overwhelming. We don't get to get saved and then just interpret things our own way. We don't get to just keep our own opinions or think that the Bible says something to me that it doesn't say to this person. You know, I used to really just get frustrated, but now I pray the mercy of God on people when I hear people say, well, you know, I don't go to church or anything, but I believe me and God got our own thing going on. Oh, my goodness. What a scary comment or conversation. You know, just the idea of thinking. Yeah, I tell you what. You and your own thing with God better be the same thing I got, and that's a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, serving him every day and doing your best to let the Lord lead and guide your life. Amen? But I mean, when we think about God saying that the Lord himself said, I can of my own self do nothing. Now we know that, boy, for him to say he can't do nothing, he sure did a lot on this earth. Amen? Boy, he raised the dead. He walked on the sea. He increased things. He brought healing to people. He did all these things. But you know why he was so successful? Because he never did anything on his own. Believers, stop. Hello? Stop trying to do things on your own. I mean, how many things have we taken to God, said we were going to believe God for, but the minute we didn't see it happen the way we want it right away, boy, we change and we take it back and we institute our own ways. And how many things do we enter in without even a consideration to God? I mean, I tell you what, I pray that we never get up, no matter how busy we are. I pray that we never get up and just start into our day without giving consideration to God. Thank you for this day. Help me in this day. Father, I need you in this day. Whew. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do much on my own. And I want us to really understand that it is powerful for us to understand that not only did Jesus come to the revelation and for him to share it with us, the secret to the successful life, the secret to the power that was with him and on him is so revealed to us when he says, I can of my own self do nothing. In other words, I don't embrace relationship with people out of my own power. You know, for us as believers, we shouldn't go to work in our own power. We shouldn't handle our spouse, our children, our family, or our relationships in our own power. You know, we shouldn't think that we can just hop in our car, have road rage and anything else and do things our own way under our own power. No, no, no. I want us to understand something. We should know and we should understand that everything we do is supposed to be a united relationship where God is with us. You know, the Bible says that if I keep his commandments, if I love him and I keep his commandments, the Bible says that God will abide with us. I mean, isn't it awesome to know that the Lord himself is with you, makes his presence known to you, and is right there for you. I want to just read something to you in the book of Acts, chapter 17. It says something so profound right here. It says in Acts 17 that in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, move, and have our very being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Wow. In him we live and move and have our being. The grace of God abounds towards us. You know, the Bible doesn't speak of just the skimping portion of grace. No, no, no. The Bible says in the abundance of his grace. I want you to know that that means in the overflow, in the overwhelming abundance of God's goodness, God has anticipated your life in his expectation to be a part of your life and doing for you what you cannot do on your own. Amen? I want you to know that I'm just going to read some things that the Word of God says concerning us who love God and who are his children. There's just words throughout the Word that are so comforting and so strengthening. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. Means that when we're feeling weak and when we're not strong, he gives us power. And to them that have no might, he increases our strength. You know what's powerful about God? Whether you are dealing with anxiety, whether you are dealing with fear, or whether you're dealing with physical sickness or weakness, I promise you that if you would make yourself available to ask and to hear what God says, he will increase your strength. He will come upon you and help you. You know, I want you to know something. That God says in one scripture that we have the right to bring every thought into captivity into Jesus Christ. You know, I tell you what, sometimes as believers, we'll just let our mind run wild. And what's sad is sometimes as believers, we can have negative thoughts, we can have fear-based thoughts, and if we're not careful, we think that's us. We think we have to. Sometimes people think that their mind just runs wild and have these thoughts, and there's nothing we can do. But I'm telling you right now that God's expectation is that you would stop that. Man, even if you start to have a negative thought or start to have fear-based thoughts or start thinking negatively about yourself, I'm telling you that the expectation God has is that you would stop that. No, that's not true about me. Boy, it might sound crazy, but you know one place in the Bible, well, not just in one place, but it says, speak to yourself. In Psalms and spiritual songs, amen? And I tell you what, I'm telling you that there has been many times, especially when I was first saved, man, there was times where I would just have a confessional in the mirror telling myself who I am and who I'm not. Making sure I was putting my old man down and my old natures down and making sure that I was taking on the identity of who the Lord has said I am. Amen? I might have been worthless to other people, but not to God. Woo! Somebody else might think I'm stupid, but he doesn't. Someone else might think I'm worthless or not worth much, But that's not what God says about me. And that is not what God is saying about any one of us. And I'm telling you that there are times in our life where when we have negative thoughts, I don't care if you failed at something. I don't care if you tell me, but Pastor, I've sinned, I've done this wrong. Okay, I understand. Let me tell you something. None of us are perfect and none of us are without sin or we wouldn't have needed Jesus. Amen? So even if we have been through bad experiences, even bad decisions we made and gotten bad relationships or bad situations or made bad decisions about what we let go on in our life, at some point we've got to stop feeding that identity and take on the identity God has given us. Amen? I'll tell you what, when I first got started at this thing, and I don't have to do it often now because he can't fool me anymore. But I tell you what, buddy, that devil would try to say, are you serious? You're going to church now, but look at what you did. You know, you were saved when you were a young man, but you walked away from God, and look at you now. And you know what? Sometimes I like to tell him, yeah, look at me now. Redeemed, blood-bought, filled with the power of God, and on my way to heaven. Woo! And I tell you what, there's times where you have to be strong enough to know who you are and know the love of God and know what God's expectation is for your life. I mean, we just heard him say that in him we live, move, and have our being, and that it is that God would desire for us to reach towards him. Amen? God would desire for us to step towards his goodness. You know, I want you to know that this is something that the Lord is saying to you every day of your life. I pray that this gets in your spirit. And I want you to know that God is saying to this to you every day of your life. Come unto me. Whew. Do you know that you could never pray too much? You know that you could never call on God too much? Do you know you could never ask him too much? You know, you think about a newborn baby or a little baby, 1, 2, 3-year-old. Mama, 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 mama. I mean, it just seems like sometimes they can just go on and go on and go on. But guess what? Your mercy is yes, baby, yes, yes, yes. And you know what? You answer them and you answer them even when they're on your nerves. What's interesting is you can't even get on God's nerves. You can come to him 1,000 times and he's going to be right there. Now, there are things that we can do that disappoints God. And we don't want to be in that category often. But I want you to know something. That God's hand towards you is come. Doesn't matter where you're at, what you're going through. Doesn't matter where you've been, come. In fact, the rest of that scripture says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I haven't given you the things in the Bible to give you difficulty. I haven't given you guidelines to make your life harder. No, no, no. I have given you these things so that if you will take on my yoke and put my yoke upon you or put my way of doing things upon you, and if you will learn of me and learn how I want you to live and learn how you should walk in relationship with me and with other people and learn the guidelines that I have laid out for you. That's what the Lord is saying to us here. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, this is something that we really have to get in our spirit. Because on occasion I've heard people say, if God's so good, why do I got this going on? How did this happen? How did this happen? See, what we don't understand that is all of his overwhelming power, he says that I am meek and lowly in heart. What that means is that God is not just going to come in and push his way through something that you're not inviting him to be a part of. I mean, it's God's will that every person that's ever been born would be saved. Every person that's ever been born, God has a purpose for them. God has gifts for them. I want you to know the discoveries of mankind, whether it's medicine or technology or inventions, I want you to know that God has put that in humanity. It's a part of, you know, the Bible says that the Lord will give us witty inventions, and boy, he's been faithful over that, amen? And I tell you what, God pours out his abundance. When God sees people that are skilled with their hands, skilled with their mind, skilled in technology, skilled in medicine and all these things, I want you to know something, that that's not coming upon people by happenstance. Those are all a part of the will of God and things that God has laid out for people. But the powerful thing is that we've got to remember, We've got to remember that in the middle of this, God's will is for every person to be saved, but people go to hell every day, not because God sends them and not because he's a mean God, but because they choose to turn their back on his kindness and goodness, and they reject what he has for them. And we don't ever want to be in that category. Amen? We want to be those who know that the Lord says, I am meek and lowly of heart. That's why he says, come unto me. The Bible even says that the Lord stands at the door and knocks. And all he wants us to do is ask him to come in. Lord, please help me. God, I give this to you. Father, I need your help. I can't do it on my own. Praise God. The Bible says that if we will humble ourselves before the living God, he will exalt us. That means he will bring help. He will bring resolution. He will give us peace. He will give us strength. And he will turn our life around. Amen? Praise God. I just want to share something with you, because I want us to understand what God has done for us and how much he wants to strengthen us. You know, Paul said, hey, I have found that when I am weak, I'm made strong. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you have he quickened. When you got salvation, the Lord didn't just leave you the same. He supernaturally changed you. Spiritually, he revived you and strengthened you and made you strong, according to Romans chapter 5 and 6. You have been made strong. But this word says that he has quickened us. That means he's refreshed us, revitalized us. It means he strengthened us. It means that he has wakened us. It means that spiritually the Lord has brought us alive in a way that we weren't before. Amen? John chapter 5, 24 says that when you confess and you believe and you get saved, that you pass, as it were, from death into life, or darkness into light. And all of a sudden, you are supernaturally made alive. You have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even whom when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By Christ you are saved. You know, the Lord has been doing it all for us from the beginning. Amen? And what we need to do is make sure and make certain that we allow him to work in our life. I mean, sometimes we get so busy and so worried and so caught up in our own efforts that it's like we forget that we need God on a day-to-day basis. Amen? Listen, sometimes we'll get distracted and start pursuing relationships or opportunities or sometimes even the jobs and the responsibilities that we prayed to receive of God. If we're not careful, we'll let that consume us so much that we'll be working on our own and out of our own energy. But I'm asking you to make sure you trust God. Man, I got to tell you something, that when I worked in a busy factory environment on a day-to-day basis and I had over 100 and something people that reported to me, I'm telling you that the maintenance guys and people would come to me and they'd say, hey, we ask ourselves all the time, how do you make these decisions that other people cuss over, other people fret over, but it seems like you just make decisions quick? And I told them, because I don't make decisions on my own. I didn't make decisions out of my own strength. We should be making decisions out of the direction of the Holy Ghost. It will make everything for you easier. Amen? So let's make sure we rest in him. Amen? Let's make sure that we let the experience of the quickening of God help us recognize that we're not the same person we were without him. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to be in intimidation. And we certainly can't let thoughts and voices speak to us and tell us what we are not. We need to make sure that we are accepting of what God is telling us we are. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that the revelation of how Jesus lived his life every day, walking with you in unity with you, God, I pray that that revelation that we can do nothing in our own strength and in ourselves, but God, we can do everything through you and through your goodness and your love. Father, I thank you. The word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I thank you, God, that even now you are working on our behalf, Father, and Lord, you are helping us and touching us, changing us, strengthening us. And Father, I pray, God, that as we let you into every situation, God, we will see the supernatural goodness of your hand of mercy upon our lives, God. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, we have a couple prayer requests. Just one. Okay, Father, we pray for Lydia that her daughter would be healed, God, from sickness, God. Father, that instead of getting worse, there will be a turnaround, Father. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that supernaturally, God, you have released healing and mercy and strength into this situation and into this daughter, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I was glad to see each and every one of you tonight. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you. I look forward to being with you on Sunday. Amen. God bless you.